I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 13, if you would, please. And while you're turning there, it is often said that some people are chick magnets. I am not, but I am a car magnet. If I'm riding my bike, I have been hit by a car. If I'm driving my car, I have been hit by a car. And now I can honestly say, if I'm walking, I can be hit by a car too. We stopped for gas on the way home from Ohio yesterday. I got gas, was going back into the store to get my change, and a car backed out and hit me and knocked me over. So my hand slammed on the ground, and I got up, and they, of course they were worried about it, but I'm doing this not because I want your sympathy, but because I need to protect it, that I don't do something stupid. Because after the cars come around, it's bad news. Anyway, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through Mark 13. And you can see the title is Words for the Wise. And I hope that as we go through that, you will see why it is titled that. And we are not going to read this chapter. We will read it as we go, as we've done in the past, because there are a lot of verses to go through. So I just want to start with a word of prayer and then go ahead and get started. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. We now thank you for your word. We ask that you will speak to us through your word, that as you do that, our hearts will be ready to hear what you have to say. Help us to be an open book before you and be able to allow your word to just pierce us, to convict us, to change us, to mold us into the individual and the Christ follower that you want us to be. And so I pray for wisdom as we read, as we touch this subject. I pray for guidance. I pray that you'll help us to really grasp the truth that I believe that Jesus wants us to know. And then I pray, Father, that as I bring the message, that you'll help me to step aside, and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Alfred Nobel was a Swedish scientist, Swedish chemist, who made a fortune by inventing dynamite and other powerful explosives used for weapons. Years later, his brother died, and the newspaper accidentally printed an obituary for him instead. He was described as a man who became rich by enabling people to kill one another in unprecedented quantities. Shaken by this assessment, Nobel resolved to use his fortune to honor accomplishments that benefited humanity. Thus, he created the Nobel Peace Prize, among others. Very few of us get a sneak preview like he did of the impact of our life and how we will be remembered. But if the truth be told, we tend, sadly, not to be that concerned about it. We tend to be more concerned about the future. Take, for example, the secularist. He is looking at the earth because that's where his faith is, and he is wondering what's going to happen with the earth. The environmentalist is going to look at the earth because he is not concerned about so much about people, he is concerned about the future of the earth resources. The follower of Christ is also concerned about the future, but I believe it's in a different way. He's concerned about future events and in the long term where we will spend our future or our eternity, if you want to put it that way. Now, speculation abounds. You're going to hear people say, especially now, is this the time? Are these the signs? How close is Jesus to coming back? Many focus their attention on the future, and they ask the question, can we know what's going to happen in the future? How can I know it? Can I pinpoint the time? Well, I want to take a look at Mark 13. As you go through here, you're going to realize that Jesus is talking about the future here. But I also believe that he is giving us some very wise words of what to do with our future. So let's begin by, first of all, I believe the first wise words Jesus is giving us is avoid panic. One of the most iconic songs of the hippie movement, and I know some of you will remember this song, was a 1971 song by Five Man and Electrical Band called Signs. It had a chorus in it, and I'm going to change an expletive that's in there because I will not say that expletive, but they say, signs, signs, everywhere are signs, and here's the expletive, clogging up the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the signs? Unfortunately, we live in a day and age where a lot of people are trying to read the signs. They're going through and they are trying to pick this and that, and this is all part of the signs. But I like the anonymous quote that is up on the screen for you and also in your bulletin. Sometimes I like to read the conclusion of a book first to see what I had to look forward to. Well, I've read the conclusion of this book, the Bible, and guess what? We win. That, to me, sums up my opinion as we talk about the second coming. Now, I have a confession to make, and I've said this before. I want to clarify it because I have been misunderstood. I have never been one to spend a lot of time on the second coming, studying it, digesting it, dissecting it. I just have not been one of those people. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is going to return. I believe that with everything that's in me. How he's going to return is clear. The Bible tells us it will be with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and then the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air. And then everybody else will come and they'll get new bodies. I believe that with all my heart. The question I have is when. That is not so clear. Because nobody does know when. Here's my philosophy about that. Number one, no one knows when. It's important to know that it will. That's the first of my philosophy. My second philosophy is this. I am concerned about the people here on earth who will not be ready when he does come back. Because, frankly, they'll be out of time. But please hear me well. One of my pet peeves is when someone spends time on what I consider a peripheral issue and lets go of what I consider important. And I'll explain that. Not that I consider the second coming a peripheral issue, because it's a very important issue. It is part of the doctrine of the faith. When my father, and this is where I was totally misconstrued by somebody, when my father recommitted his life to Christ in the middle of my parents' 24th year of marriage, his pastor gave him a book. And I have the book in my library since my mom gave it to me. It's a big book. It's called Things to Come. This pastor gave him this book and said, read this book. It's all about the second coming. It's all about the signs of the times. It's all about the things that, to me, are peripheral issues that nobody can really know for sure. What he didn't do is he did not sit down and tell him, here's how you read the Bible. Here's how you pray. Here's how you spend a daily time with God in his word. Here's the importance of worship. 6 months later, he was out of my mom's life, out of my life, and out of my brother's life. Now, that could have happened anyway. I realize that. But what's important to me, or especially important to me, is that he spent no time with him trying to teach him the basics of how to grow as a Christian. And so, when someone comes to me and says, what are all the signs of times? The first thing I want to know is, what are you doing on your daily life trying to grow your faith? Do I think the second coming is important? You bet I do. Do I believe it? Yes, I most certainly do. But here's what I think is important, is that we prepare for life here on earth as though Jesus is going to come by the end of today. So here's my first number one thought that Jesus is presenting to us. Avoid panic. Expect persecution. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 13. You can see in verse 1, the disciples come and they are really impressed by the temple. They look at Jesus, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings are here. And Jesus said to him, or said to them, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew were questioning him privately. Tell us, when will these things come about? In other words, when is this going to happen? These stones will not be left on top of them. And what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled? Instead of answering them directly, Jesus gives them what I consider an upcoming scenario. These are not in your notes, but if you'd like to take these down, I'll say them slow enough. I think he gives them four scenarios. Number one, verse 5. There will be people who will mislead you. Verse 5, Jesus says, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name saying, I am he. But they will mislead many. So there will be false prophets. There will be those who come pretending to be Jesus. The second thing we are told is it's going to get nasty. Verse 7, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. These things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are only the beginning of birth pains. Folks, these have been happening through time immemorial. But what Jesus is trying to tell us is things are going to get nasty. Don't panic. The third lesson I think he teaches us is to expect repercussions. Expect persecution. Look at verse 9. But be on your guard, for they will hand you over to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. Things are going to get ugly, yes, but also you can expect repercussions. You can expect persecution. And the fourth lesson I believe he's going to teach us is betrayal will happen. Verse 12, and brother will betray brother to death, a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You talk about ultimate betrayal. But then look what happens in verse 11. He says, and when they arrest you, not if, but when they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you're to say. But say whatever is given to you at that time, for you are not the one speaking, it is the Holy Spirit. So when you are confronted, when we are confronted because of our faith, we shouldn't worry about what we're going to say because the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will tell us what to say. We will find the words. Let's put it this way. It's going to get very intense. Very intense. I want to give you a broad sweep of these verses from verses 1 through 23. We're not going to spend the rest of the time on, and I encourage you to read that, but there is a broad sweeping capsulization I want to give you, and it's not mine. I found it, so I can't take credit for it. I wish I could because I think it's a genius. But here is the first one. Deception is coming, so don't be led astray. That's the first 8 verses. Deception is coming. Jesus even says that. Let no one mislead you. Deception is coming, so don't be led astray. The second one is persecution can be expected, but don't be anxious. That's verses 9 to 13. Jesus even said, and you'll be hated by everyone because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. And then the final one is tribulation will be intense, so be on guard. That's the rest of verses 14 through 23. And you can read that, how intense it's going to be, but he tells us to be on guard because in verse 23 he says, but beware, I have told you everything in advance. Okay, so the first words of wisdom that Jesus tells us is to avoid panic and to expect persecution. The second words of wisdom he tells us is to escape judgment. This is my concern. Jesus wanted his followers to know that there was hope in the midst of all this persecution. And it wasn't just for those in his time, it is also for us. That in all the persecution, there is hope. Now, when you consider the second coming of Jesus, we're not going to do all of these. There are four basic views about that, and that is this class all on its own. One of the views, which I think can be thrown out, says that there will be 1,000 years of peace, and then Jesus will come, so there won't be any tribulation. I think that's a bunch of garbage, according to what Jesus says here. But there are three main views, then, concerning Jesus. One of the things that is you have recognized, there have always been those who have set dates. There will always be those who will set dates. One man set a date, of May 21st, 2011. When that didn't happen, he changed it to October 21st, 2011. When that didn't happen, he finally said, I'm out of the date-setting business. He should never have gotten into the date-setting business. Because you see, Jesus is the only one who knows. What we need to understand is that we need to get out of the date-setting business. One of our major cults started because someone set a date that didn't happen. And so they set another date and it didn't happen. Liberal theologians tell us that the coming of Christ is nothing more than a delusional thought of Bible thumpers. Well, I hate to say it, but they will find out that they're the delusional ones, because ultimately Jesus will return. So how should we look at the second coming? These are in your notes, and I want to take you through these verses really quickly from verses 24 to 37. The first thing he tells us is Jesus will come again to gather his people. Verse 24 is really a vivid description. I mean, you cannot get away from this. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give any light, and the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. There is no doubt something is going to happen. That's the warning, folks. That's what Thessalonians talks about. There's going to be a shout, there's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and then the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And Jesus is coming. That's your warning. But here he's also telling us, be forewarned. There will be an ultimate cosmic upheaval. And there will be judgment. And basically, you're out of time. Time's up. There's no other chance. This passage here, by the way, is from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And then he goes on to say verse 27, and he will then send forth the angels, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of heaven. So when Jesus returns, his people will be gathered. The second lesson I think we can learn is Jesus will come again, and the time is near. Now, even as I say that, understand that they have believed down through the years that time was near. Paul believed that Jesus was going to come in his lifetime. There have been people, and so there's a song from way, way back, One Step Closer Today Than Yesterday. Every day we live, we are one step closer, one day closer to the return of Christ. So his time is near. Jesus is coming again. And notice what he does here. He uses the figure of a fig tree in verse 28. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. The fig tree is the only tree in Palestine that does not stay green all year round. It drops its leaves in the fall, like our trees do. In the spring, sap goes into the branches. They begin to sprout, and that means that summer is coming. And Jesus uses the illustration of the fig tree has become tender and sprouts its leaf. You know that summer is near. And so you too, when you see these things happening, recognize what? That he is near, right at the door. A lot of people wonder what this is referring to. They say, was he referring to the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70? Totally possible. But I think Jesus drops a bomb in verse 30 that kind of pushes that away a little bit. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Obviously, that generation has passed away and we're still here. But I think I have to agree with those who say that when Jesus does come, that is the generation of which these things will not come to pass. Number three. Here, I cannot stress this enough. Jesus will come again, and only God knows when. I don't even know how to stress that enough other than saying it again and again and again. We may not know when Jesus is going to come, but we should be doing what we should be doing when he does. If you will look at verse 32, Jesus says, but about that day or hour, no one knows. Can you read that? No one knows. So anybody that goes around setting a date is a false prophet. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Not even Jesus knew when he was going to come back. Only the Father alone. There will come a day when he will say, time is now. And Jesus will come. The voice, the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet will sound, and Jesus will return. And we are fools to think that we can set a date for when he's going to come. Now, Jesus gives a second illustration here. If you notice verse 34, it's like a man who was away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigned each one his task. That's Jesus, away on a journey. We are his servants. He's given us a task. And he says, be about your task while I'm gone. And then when I come back, there'll be a reckoning. I think the key, and if you have a Bible and you want to underline in this, or you have your tablet underline this, three times, Jesus tells them, stay alert. Watch this. Verse 33, watch out. Stay alert. You go down to verse 35, therefore, stay alert. And then finally, verse 37, what I say to you, I say to all, stay alert. Do you think he was trying to tell us something? Do you think he's trying to say, stay alert in the morning because he may come? Stay alert in the afternoon because he may come. Stay alert in the evening because he may come. Stay alert while you're sleeping. That's kind of hard, but you know, get your heart right because he may come. We do not know when he's going to come. The important part is that we be ready when he does. I want to close with an illustration. I think that illustrates it really well. Waiting to be interviewed for a job as a Morse code operator. A group of applicants paid little attention to the sound of the dots and dashes that began to come over the loudspeaker. Suddenly, one of the applicants rushed into the employer's office, and soon he returned smiling, saying, I got the job. Well, how did you get there ahead of us? The rest of them said. He said, well, you might have been considered if you had been listening. Instead of talking, if you'd been listening and heard the manager's coded message that said, the man I need must always be on the alert. The first one to interpret this and comes directly to my office will be hired. Stay alert, folks. If there's anything I want to say this morning, is stay alert. We do not know when he's going to part the eastern sky. All we need to do is be alert. Be ready for his coming. Because we do not know when it's going to come. All we do know is that it will come. Be alert. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I cannot emphasize it enough. Be alert. You need to understand that without Jesus, if when he comes, you'll be out of time. Time is done. Be alert. Be ready. And if you've never come to know Jesus Christ, you need to do that today before time is up. Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will open your word up to us continually as we study. Help us to read your word, to see how alive it is, to see how relevant it is to our lives. We live daily lives, Father. You know that. Some of us struggle more than others. But you've asked us all to do our task and to be alert. Help us to be ready for when Jesus returns. And help us to bring others to the point of being ready as well. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your return. Now burn it in our hearts so that it becomes a fire that we want to see as many people as we can come to know you. Go with us this week. Use us for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. Thanks for watching online. Appreciate it. Have a great week.